How many of you would say that you are good at remembering? Anybody? You can remember everything that it's okay. You're not being prideful or bragging, you know. Some people can remember well. Then there's other people like me who don't usually remember well. We don't joke like, haha, make fun of it, but in our home, Lisa can remember a lot more than I can, okay? Now, by the way, for those of you that can remember everything, that can be a blessing and it can be a curse, right? Right? Because you can remember everything. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the grace of God. Then there's those of us that can't remember everything. Also, blessings and curses. Goes both ways, right? And so Lisa can remember, like, names and faces and people and all that. And I'm the one that usually remembers the name and forget the face. I remember the face and forget the name. You know what I'm talking about? And so we'll be at a store and she'll be like, or I'll notice somebody. And I'll be like, hey, who is that? She'll be like, oh, that's so-and-so and da-da-da-da-da. And she'll give me the data. And then I'll go over and say, hey, how you doing, Jane? You know, and greet. And then she makes me look better. She makes me look good. Now, the reason I share that story is she helps me. Now, hopefully I help her too. I know in relationships, sometimes you're like, I don't know how I help the other person, but she helps me in that area. Did you know that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a helper, somebody who will help us no matter what we're going through in our life? Did you know that? You can talk back to me a little bit. It's okay. I want to make sure you're with me today. I know it's gray and it's cloudy and all that, but don't worry. Sun may not be shining here, but Jesus is still on the throne, okay? And no matter what gray situation you're going through in life, Jesus, he sends his helper, the Holy Spirit, that and he will help us out. And what I want to do today, I didn't say first service, but I'll kind of preface this by saying, in about another month or so, we're going to dig a little deeper into what the Holy Spirit means, okay? We're going to talk about the power of the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence, as in he's here, of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the actual presence, the gifts that God gives. Of speaking in tongues, and what does that mean, and how do I make sense of that? But all I want to do today is talk about what it means to remember well. And my prayer today, my hope, my challenge is that no matter what you're going through in life, that we can leave here today knowing that maybe all of life is not fixed or better or whole at the moment, but that we know that we have a helper that's going to meet us right where we're at. And that we can know that everything's good, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Amen? Can we agree on that? Are we good with this? Okay. Because remembering well is important. There was a farmer who had this dog that was just incredible. The farmer had a friend over, and they were kind of talking, and the dog had this ability that when the farmer whistled, whoosh, that dog would go and would corral around the pig pen and get all the pigs shooed right into the barn there, into the pig pen. All because of a whistle. And so the farmer did that. That dog took off, started doing its job. And the friend said, that's amazing. How did you get a dog that was so well trained? Well, what's his name? And the farmer goes, what's that flower with the thorns on it? And he said, Rose. And the farmer turned to the house and said, hey, Rose, what's the dog's name? Take it. Remembering well will be very important. You forget your wife's name, by the way, men, you will be in the pig pen. I want to share with you just a few verses, but here's where we're going to kind of land. John chapter 14, verse 25, where it just talks about the helper. Now, these first few verses I'm going to give you, I don't believe are in your outline, but I'll tell you what they are. If you want to write them down, feel free. If you don't, then don't. But I want you to know, these are promises that God gives us and talks to us about how he will help us in a time of need. And he encourages us to remember what we need to remember, to forget some things that we should. He says this in, here's the first one, Psalms 103, verse 2. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, remember, don't forget. Remember all of the benefits of God. Psalm 77, verse 11 is the next one. I will remember. Say those three words with me. I will remember, he says, the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. He says that we're to remember. If we were to back it up in Deuteronomy, we would see the children of Israel when they were wandering around. There's so many stories that can come out of the children of Israel. And there's so many ways that we can identify with them. But here's what it said, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And then he says this, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. If there was one word I think that would sum up most of the Bible, if not all of it, would be the word remember. Because we, as you'll find out in a moment, I'll come back to it at the end of Scripture, but when we celebrate and come to the table for communion, which, by the way, we will be coming back to an actual table in August, okay? But when we come to that table, we do this in what? Remembrance. Well, what are we supposed to remember? We're supposed to remember the price that was paid, and not just about the price that was paid, but we're to remember of all of the grace and the mercy and the promises that God has given because of the body that was broken and because of the blood that was shed. It wasn't just about one man that went to the cross and died so he could look good in front of all of his friends. It's about a man who went to the cross and died, who happened to be the Son of God, so that he could pave the way for you and me to not only get to eternity, but to be able to figure out what it means to have a little bit of that heaven here on earth. But that did not happen until he died, went to the cross, and you remember he was hanging around the disciples. It was his posse, his good friends, you know, hanging around. And, you know, some were kind of knuckleheads, you know. But, hey, I've had knuckleheaded friends too. But he told them, he said, I'm gonna leave. I've got to go. But he said, they didn't want him to go, remember? No, please don't go. And he says, but I must go. But when I go, I will send a helper. I will send a helper. And they didn't understand this. They didn't understand that. You know, they're like, we don't need a helper. We want you. And he said, you don't understand. I can walk with you and you and you and you and you individually. But when I go and complete the will of my Father, then he will send the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be able to be there for each and every one of you 24/7 all the time. He completely understands what you're going through. And he will speak to you and help you in life when you face struggles, when you go through difficulties, when you need clear wisdom. That's what God gives to us through his Holy Spirit. And so we must remember. Remember, don't forget who you are. You are not just who you are as in looking in a mirror. You and I are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Amen? Okay, remind yourself of that. You must remind yourself of that because there are days when you will feel like you are anything but the son of God or the daughter of God. But that does not change the fact. You and I have been blood-bought. We all know that. But the focus is on remembering that. We must remember that. And it doesn't matter if you just gave your heart to Jesus and you know, man, I've done so many wrong things and that. How could God ever love me? But I'm thankful for his grace. That's a grace that he gives. And you remember that. But don't ever think that because you've been walking with the Lord for 25, 30, 50 years, don't stop remembering. Don't stop remembering of the greatness of God. Because life has a way of throwing curveballs your way. Have you found that out? Life has a way of being sometimes a pain in the tuchus, right? But how do you navigate through all of that? Well, we try a lot of times to do that on our own. But Jesus says, I'm going and I'm sending my helper. And so there's some things that we need to focus on. Israel, the children of Israel, they forgot the promises of God. They started to, you know, God heard their cry. If you remember, the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and it got so bad that they cried out to God, God, please deliver us. So God raised up a man by the name of Moses. Moses came and said, let my people go. I'm paraphrasing real quick. And they started their journey across the wilderness, and the people started to grumble. Anybody here like grumblers? No? How'd you like to lead a whole herd of them, right? Well, that's what Moses is dealing with. These people are grumbling, but here's why they're grumbling. They're grumbling because they forgot. They forgot the promise of God. Jesus, please deliver us. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. The problem is once they got what they wanted, they didn't want what they got because they were so comfortable. Oh, man, remember? Man, we used to have Whoppers back there. There was Pizza Hut back there. Man, there was Chick-fil-A back there, right? And now we're stuck out here eating bread and water. You know, when's this ever going to happen? When's this going to change? They forgot the promises of God. How quickly, though, I mean, we can talk about them and we can pick on them a little bit, but how many times have we cried out to God? And God answered us, and halfway through our wilderness, we said, God, what's up? You know, what are you doing? Why are you taking so long? When are you going to answer my prayer? You see, don't forget who God is. He sends his helper. So even when you're going through those struggle times, and you will go through struggles in life, right? Yeah, we don't want to admit it, but come on, folks. We're going to go through struggles in life. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I hate the most is when I get a package in the mail that comes in one of what I call struggle paper. You know what I mean? FedEx sends you a package, and you try to like rip it, and it doesn't rip, and you're tearing it, you're stepping on it, everything. But you need something like scissors to cut through all that. That's what the helper does. When you're struggling in life, he comes and cuts through all that so that you can get to the contents of what God has for you. But that only happens when you remember him. Our memories, they're so important. We've got to remember the gifts, the greatness, the promises of God. There was a man by the name of Eli Wiesel. He was part of a town in Sighet, now which is actually part of Romania right now. And this is where the Jewish people were rounded up in 1944, and they were taken to concentration camps, and they were completely, you know, they were just annihilated. Well, he, however, somehow survived the Holocaust and became a famous novelist 20 years later. He returned to Sighet, the town where he was at, and he found that the town people had completely obliterated any memory of the Jewish people for fear of the Nazi regime. Well, he wrote an interesting phrase in a book that he wrote, and it says this. He said, I was not angry at the people of Sighet for having driven us out of their neighborhood. If I was angry at all, it was because the town had forgotten us altogether. The Jews had not only been driven out of that town, they had been driven out of history, out of time, and out of memory as well. You see, they completely forgot. Memories. Memories are one of the most precious commodities that God has given to us. Think about it. How many of you find yourself sometimes recollecting those memories that put a smile on your face, right? You can remember times back, whether it was in high school or college or maybe it's the day of your wedding. You know, just as much as you can remember good ones, there's bad ones out there too, though, as well, right? And but memories, they're a gift from God. And I drive around town, you know, it doesn't matter where you grew up. But I grew up in Clinton, so I've been kind of born and raised here. Only time I ever left Clinton was when we went to Bible college for 2 years in Dallas, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Just had to put that in there. And but besides that, I spent it here in Clinton, so I have a lot of memories wrapped up. When I drive down the road, down by Springdale, Ashford University, which then turned to Franciscan University, which then turned into something else, and I don't know what it is now. But I'll tell you what, when I drive by there, you know what I think of? I think of my wife, because that's when we were dating, and she was going to school there. So people, you know, I don't drive by and think, academia. You know, I think there's a hot chick that's staying there, right? That's what I'm thinking of. When I drive around town, and I drive by Happy Joe's. Now, I've not been there in a while, but I can point out the booth that puts a smile on my face because it was our first date, and we had a pizza, and she had maybe 3 bites of it and a salad, you know, because whatever reason. I remember that, and it makes me smile. I think of the first movie we went to, you know, but as much as there's good movies, when I drive by the theater and see the movie theater, I can think of that. There's also those other memories, like when I drive by the dentist office and I remember that drill in my tooth. Right? I'm like, I remember that, and I don't want to go back there. But thank God for him for taking care of that. I love you, but I don't like you kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Love-hate relationship. I drive by Bluff School. They're on Bluff, obviously, a gateway school. It was Bluff back then. I think it's Gateway now. I'm not even really sure. But it's not about the school. I remember that road because that's where I got my first speeding ticket. On the very same day, I got my driver's license. Yeah. I had a really good excuse for the policeman too, but he wasn't buying it. He didn't care about my excuse. But I remember every time I drive by, still today, I got to practice forgiveness. I can drive down that road today and I'll be like, I can't believe he gave me a ticket. I'm 51 years old now, you know? But that memory's still there. It's still there. It was traumatic because I got my license and I'm a man. And then I get a ticket and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I got a speeding ticket. See, there's so many things that we can think of, but we were moving our son. We busted out of church real quick last week because we had to pack up a trailer, move my son. He's living in Des Moines. He went from one complex right across the park, parking lot to another one. And but it's still, you know, it's a lot of work. And when we were doing this, we decided we wanted to bless him. And so we were going to buy him a TV because he had this old junker kind of thing. And we said, you know how when you're married long enough, you don't even have to talk. You just look at each other. And you're like, hmm. And we both know we're going to the store. We'll get him a TV. So we take him to the store and we said, one thing left we need to get, pick out a TV. And he was like, are you serious? And he was very thankful. He was very grateful, which is what you always want. You know, you don't want to buy stuff for people who aren't grateful, do you? You know, it's not any fun. So Seth and I are picking up this TV. I've got my hand in one side. He's got his hand in the other. We're walking it to the register. And as I walk down, I see all these toys. They were like Nerf guns and water stuff, you know. And I had this flashback. Like, I'm like, what is going on right now? Because when I looked at that, I'm thinking it was just 2 years ago. I was shooting you with Nerf guns. It's kind of my therapy at home, you know. And we would have Nerf wars and play guns. And here they are. And now all of a sudden, I'm walking with this TV with my son to put in his apartment. Where did the time go? Time goes so fast. And sometimes we spend all of our time that goes so fast fussing and fighting and cussing all over this stuff that doesn't really even amount to anything. So what does? What does? Well, it's remembering well. You cherish those memories, but I guess maybe you could say that you basically become the sum total of not necessarily the events of your life, but how you remember them. How you remember them. Two people can look at one thing, by the way, and have completely different perspectives, can't they? You could look at this table. I could look at this table, and we could have a different opinion about it, of what it's made of, or what it looks like, or what we could do with it. You know, so it's not about the item in itself. It's about your view of it. Two people can be in prison, and they can look out the window. And one of them can say, man, look outside. Isn't it beautiful? Look at all the stars. While the other prisoner says, I don't see any stars. All I see is bars on the window. See, it's about perspective. And with the wrong perspective, you'll always look at the wrong thing. With the right perspective, then there's a hope that God gives because you will have his eyes. You will see what it is that he sees. We must have that. We've got to have his perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Two people could go through an illness, let's say. And one of them can come out blaming the doctor for not finding the cure sooner, while the other person can go right back to that same hospital with a greater compassion for those who are going through the same thing they're going through. Perspective. See, after a while, it's not the events of our past that make us who we are, but it's the form of those events that they take in our memory and how we embrace that. And we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit plays into this because he is our helper. He is the one that helps us navigate through life because we've already clarified this. Life is challenging. Life can be hard. There's ups, there's downs. But in all of the journeys of your life, you must lean into the helper. You must lean into the Holy Spirit because he's the one that will guide you. He's the one that will lead you. And without it, we just tend to become resentful. Somebody hurts your feelings and they stab you in the back, whatever. Without the help of the Holy Spirit to see it for what it is, we can become resentful. As a matter of fact, the word resentment comes from the Latin word resento. Sento, S-E-N-T-O, means to cut over and over and over again. And the word re just means to keep repeating it. So when you have a memory of an event that's not healed in your life, or you've cataloged it or have archived it as a wound, every time a memory comes up, it's like cutting yourself over and over and over again. That's why resentment hurts so bad. But we've got to have the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about a lady in Hawaii. I listened to the pastor, a pastor in Hawaii. He talked to a lady in his church, and she was interested in going on the mission field. So she came to the church and said, I want to get involved. I want to get, you know, connected. And she started to kind of just sit in the presence of that teacher and that leader. But she had these physical marks on her. Like you could tell something happened. She had scars on her face. She had scars on her hands. She had scars on her arms. She had scars other places. And, you know, of course, that's not what he talked about right away. But as they got to know one another, the pastor said, hey, can I just ask the story, you know, your testimony and just what's going on? And do you mind if I ask, what's going on with all the scars that I see? And she said, well, She said, I got married to a guy who I really loved. And for a while, he's a very nice guy, but he started to drink. And when one drink led to more until he became an alcoholic. And the problem is, when he drank, he became very angry. And when he drank, he became very violent. And she said, one night while I was at home, he came home, and he was very angry. He was very drunk. And he pulled out a kitchen knife, and he stabbed me 28 times. A true story. The neighbors heard the screams, and they called the police, and the police showed up. Of course, he was gone at the time. And they took me to the hospital, and somehow, you know, through the grace of God, I made it. And the man talking to her said, what a horrible story. And she said, oh, no. She said, it's not a horrible story. She said, because it was the grace of God that saved me. And now what I'm choosing to do is go into the missions field so I can help other people who go through similar situations so that they can know that there is still a God, even at the end of all the ugliness that you see in this world. The man said, well, what do you think about your husband? Do you hate him? And she said, no, I don't hate him. She said, I forgave him. He took 1 hour of my life, and I'm not going to give him any more time. See, that's learning to remember well. I would ask the question today, what is going on in your life? Usually we ask it this way. What is it that you need to forget? Or what is it that you need to be healed from? I want to pose it a different way. What is it that you need to remember well? What is it in your life that has been a crutch? What is it in your life that's been an excuse for remaining where you're at and you're unable or unwilling to, you know, move on or go forward in your life? What is it that you need to remember well that the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you in? That's an amazing testimony from this lady. You see, it wasn't about the event. She didn't focus on the event that happened. She focused on remembering well in the middle of that. And the only way that she got through that was through the Holy Spirit being her helper. Here's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 26. It'll be up on the screen, 25 to 26. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. That's supposed to be John, not James, so you can fix that in your notes, okay? Here's the thing. He says, I am sending a helper so that no matter what you go through in life, God will lead you. How can the Holy Spirit help me? How can the Holy Spirit help you if he's our helper? How can he do that today? This is his job description. The Father loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus to come and die on a cross, and he allowed that to happen so that the Holy Spirit could come and meet you right where you're at, so that he could lead you and guide you to where it is that Jesus would have you to be. So this is his job description, but how does that become real? And what is it I need to know? Just three things I'll give you. Number one, write this down. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to help us remember. And not only to remember, but to remember well. His job is to help us remember well. I can remember a name and not a face, or a face and not a name. Jesus, he remembers it all. He knows it all. He knows the answer to the question before you've even thought about asking a question. He will lead you and me. Did you know that God says he will send his helper who will be with us all the time, and he will forever teach us all things? This is his full-time ministry, and it's his job to bring to remembrance the things that we need to know. It's his job. It's the same thing. It happened this way for me, as an example. I grew up in church. I know about Jesus. I know God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but there came a point in my life when Jim knows everything. Jim is good all the time. All the time Jim is good. This is how I live my life. I walked away from the Lord, and there came a moment. Y'all pretty much have heard my testimony, but so I don't want to focus on that. But there was a time when I was driving back Highway 61, and I knew I needed to make things right with the Lord. I knew that void I felt, I tried filling it with everything else. Nothing else worked, and it was that little nagging voice that kept saying, "You know what it is. You know what it is. You know it's a relationship with God. There's nothing that's going to fill it like that. And I knew it. You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. That was the Holy Spirit helping me. But now I still had to make a decision. Was I going to listen to it or not? I did, by the way. You see, he's speaking to you as well all the time. Don't think for one moment that just because, you know, you're at a certain age or you've been in church so long or whatever, that you don't need his help. And don't think for a moment that he won't help you, because he will. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you, here's the key, forever. He will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. His job is to filter the events in your life and allow them, or help us to catalog them in a way that brings life and not death. Have you made a decision in the last month that was hard to make and you needed the Holy Spirit's help? And even though you know you made the right decision, sometimes you feel guilty about the decision you made, but yet the Holy Spirit reminds you, no, you've got to do what's the right thing. That's the Holy Spirit. He helps you in those moments, because you can't stop feelings of, you can't stop certain feelings, but what you can do is bring them to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit help you through those feelings. You see, we can choose to do an end run if we want, by the way. You can do an end run, you can go around God, because our natural instincts sometimes are to focus on me, myself, and I. But he says, but when you get the focus off of self and get it on Jesus and acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, then he helps you navigate through life. You see, what that lady from the story of her being attacked, what did that lady do that was attacked by her husband? Well, she let the Holy Spirit bring that event back to remembrance, but not so she could relive the torment, but so that God could heal her in that place and use it as a testimony. Because if you remember, go to the end of the book, read the end of the book, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and what else? Word of their testimony. That's what she has. It's what you have. It's what I have. And that's what's so powerful. Over the past years, you know, in my life, there's been many times I've seen people that have hurt me or have said something. The question isn't, will that happen? It's, what are you going to do with it when it does? I was listening to a couple of friends years ago, but one of them was talking about how the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And here's how the conversation went. He had a friend that was, they were like brothers. They just hung out together all the time. And one friend kind of just was deceptive, stabbed him in the back, talked behind his back, and it really hurt the other guy's feelings. And he said, it really disturbed me. It really bothered me. I mean, I lost sleep over this. I missed meals because I thought we were like brothers. I thought, you know, his perception was that we're really close until all of a sudden they weren't. And he said, it hurts so bad. He said, I wish we never became friends in the first place, because then it wouldn't hurt so much. And that's when he said the Holy Spirit showed up and said, hold on a minute. You ever have the Holy Spirit do that to you? You start thinking and talking things out, and then he goes, hold on a minute. Can I jump in here? See, this is the thing about the Holy Spirit. He's always gentle. He's always a gentleman. He's not going to go kick the door in and come in and say, what'd you say? He's not going to do that. You're going to say something, and he's going to show up, and he's going to say, can I tell you something about that? And here's what he heard. He said, when I said, I wish I never had been friends with him in the first place, then it wouldn't hurt so much. The Holy Spirit stepped in and said, wait a minute. How are you interpreting this event? He said, how long had you guys been friends? And he told the Holy Spirit, 8 years. He says, in those 8 years, did you have a good time? Yeah. Did you have a lot of laughs? Yeah. Did you have some fun? Absolutely. And he said, so now that it's over, that's all null and void? Well, yeah. He goes, I think I'd just rather forget. And he let the Holy Spirit just lead him. And he said, that guy betrayed me. And that guy, you know, stabbed me in the back. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to him. He said, why don't you be thankful for the friendship that you enjoyed for the 8+ years? And just be thankful for the years you had. You, the Holy Spirit said to him, are going into a new season. He is going into a different season. Each season has its own purpose. But you can be thankful for what you had, or you can remember it poorly and let it not only destroy what you had and what you have, but what you could have in the future. See, it's like a cancer. If we don't learn to remember well, it just brings destruction into our life. But this means nothing if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying Him. I don't know about you, but if there was a sign-up sheet outside that said, anybody wants to have somebody tell them what to do and learn to obey, sign up here. You know, we'd be like, I don't want to sign that sign-up sheet, right? But the Holy Spirit has a way of speaking to us in a way that we can receive it. Have you ever had, this is a safe place, you can answer if you want, don't feel like you have to, but have you ever had the Holy Spirit correct you for something you were doing wrong, whether you knew it or not? And when He corrected you or spoke to you, you knew it? You know what I'm talking about? That's happened to me multiple times in my life, okay? But here's the good news. It's because He spoke to me and I listened to Him that I became better. I became healthier. I became stronger. But you see, the Holy Spirit has a way of even bringing correction into your life when in a gentle way. I used my family first service. I'll use them again. Let's say that something needed to change in my life. I'm doing something that needs to be corrected, or I'm doing something that's just kind of zany or silly or whatever. And let's say my dad comes along and says, Jim, what are you doing? You need to quit doing that. That's not right. Now, just because he's my dad, for that reason alone, he could say that and it'd be like ringing a bell. Ding, ding. Who do you think you are? Well, I guess you are, but you know, and I could get defensive. My mom could say, maybe a different way, but she'd be like, Jimmy, your dad's right. You need to listen to your dad, you know, and that would tick me off. And then I could go home and say, you'll never guess what mom and dad said. They're telling me I need to change this. I mean, they're crazy, aren't they? And she could go, well, I don't really think they're crazy. I kind of agree with them. I'd be like, well, forget you. And I walk out of the house. And now I'm mad at everybody. What's the problem? Well, the problem is there's an unwillingness to hear. See, that's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, so you better knock it off. He says, what are you going to do? And now you've got a choice that you get to make. Are you going to obey or not? Let me show you a picture. It's kind of not a best picture, but go ahead and throw that up there. If you really want to see it, that looks really good. You look at YouTube later and it'll be on there. This is my son, Seth. We are at Universal Studios in California. He is all the age of maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. I'm horrible at guessing ages. But, you know, he was my shadow. Everywhere I went, Seth went. And I loved that. And we were at Universal Studios, and it was hot. It was hot, hot, hot. Like, the sun was like, whoo, it's hot. You know, that bad, right? And so when it's hot out there, they'll put out these fans that have misters, you know, and they spray the water so you can walk through it and kind of cool off. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so they had, you know, those all over the place. And he's like, Dad, I want to go cool off. And I said, okay, do it, but just run through it once or twice and then get back here. Oh, come on, Dad, I want to do it a little longer. No, because you're going to get wet, you're going to get soaked. See, I knew something that Seth didn't know. I knew that if he stayed in the water too long and became completely soaked or got completely wet, he was going to be walking around all day in squishy shoes, you know, water squirting out everywhere. And I knew we were still going to go on roller coasters, and I knew that we were going to go try to eat some meal and watch a show, and I knew he was going to be miserable if he got completely soaked. So I knew something Seth didn't know. Seth, what are you going to do? Well, what's any little boy going to do? He stood in front of that water for like half an hour. You know, he got completely soaked, and he came back to me dripping wet, and I'm like, Seth, I said, I told you not to stand in front of it. He's like, no, it's all good. But 30 minutes later, he comes to me, and this is when the picture was taken. He comes to me and goes, Dad, he goes, you were right. He goes, I feel miserable. I was like, yeah, you should have listened to me. I mean, what mom or dad doesn't want to hear their kids say the words, you were right? So Seth's standing in front of me like this. And I had as much compassion as I could. You know, I'm sorry, buddy. I kind of warned you. You made a choice. We're going to go on these roller coasters. And we're going to do this stuff. And he did it. And he was all right. I mean, he dried off. Like I told you, it was hot, hot, hot. He was just miserable for a little while. But in the moment he came to me and stood like that, I took out my phone real quick and took a picture. But the reason I took it was not because I'm a morbid dad. I might be just a little bit, but I took it because when he stood in front of me like that and he said, "You were right," I'll tell you what I saw. I saw the number of times that I myself did the same thing with my Father God. He said, "Jim, there are times in my life, Jim, don't do that. Don't go out with them. Don't consume that. Don't, you fill in the blank. I don't want to have to paint that ugly of a picture, but I lived in the world. I enjoyed life. When I was getting things right, there's times when the Holy Spirit would say, don't do that. Even when I was living for the Lord, sometimes maybe I got arrogant or I got prideful or I got, you know, whatever, just you can fill in the blank. There's times when the Holy Spirit had said, don't do that because I know something you don't know. But I went and did my own thing only to come before God and say, Jesus, you were right. And I was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I'd have to repent. Do you know how I got to that place? Well, I tend to be just a tiny bit stubborn. Maybe a little bit more. And in times when I wanted to do things my own way, God's grace was still sufficient, even then. And I thought, how many times have I had to come back to this place? And it's the same thing for you as well. When we don't obey God, you come to this place where you go, man, you were right and I was wrong. That's why number two, write this down. We have to come to a place where we make sure we ruthlessly obey and put into practice his daily instructions. We must ruthlessly, intentionally, on purpose, thinking about it tomorrow. I want to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can to obey what it is that God says and put it into practice every day of my life. Well, Pastor, I can't do that every day. That's just, that's an enormous task. It is. But simple. You don't have to stress over it, dwell over it. You just constantly start to say, Lord, how can I bring glory and honor to your name today? And when I don't, will you please remind me? Will you please show me? This is a prayer I prayed and still pray to this day. Lord, may my life today give you glory and honor. And when it doesn't, let me know. Because I'm not always going to know. I'm very aware that I have weaknesses. I'm very aware that, I'm trying to think how to say it nicely. I'm very aware of my limitations. I know I don't have all the answers. And I can live life trying to pretend like I do and trying to lead people as if I know all the answers, but I don't. But I do know this, that there's a God that loves me and he sent his Holy Spirit into my life. And if I will listen to him, he will lead me, he will guide me into all righteousness, just like he'll do for you. But you have to ruthlessly obey and put it into practice. That is a must. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is how we do it. When you're talking about obeying God every day, well, that I don't know if I can do it. Oh, no, he didn't say that you have to stress over it. He just said, live life trying to bring glory and honor to him. And when the Holy Spirit reveals to you that you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, drank something you shouldn't have drank, smoked something you shouldn't have smoked, kissed something you shouldn't have kissed, whatever you want to fill in the blank there, when the Holy Spirit quickens that, you just say, Lord, I repent. I hear you. And I'm now making that adjustment in my life, and I'm bringing whatever thought that was there into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. When you do that, done. And you move on until the next time it happens, because it will. But this is what it means to walk out in relationship with God. But it starts with this, that little bullet right there put down. Steward, you and I must steward your mind well. You must steward your mind well. Did you know that the enemy is, John 10:10, the enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And here's where he will aim his guns at. He will aim them at your mind. Because whoever runs the mind runs the show. When that's why we struggle with temptation. That's why pornography is on the rise in an immense way for both sexes. That's why, and I don't want to get into it too much and get on a soapbox, but you fill in the blank with anything. It starts in the mind and the enemy will aim at that. And that's why we must steward our mind well and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. So you and I must do that. And we have to exercise that. I know you probably don't, if you're like me, I like the idea of exercising. I wish you could exercise and I would get the benefits from it. I wish that's the way it worked, but it doesn't. If I want the benefits, I have to go do the workout, right? Same thing spiritually. Man, I wish I could just grow my walk with Christ. Man, I wish I could just be an overcomer in this area. Man, I wish I just had victory in this area of my life where I'm addicted. Whatever it is, here you go. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is your exercise routine, if you will, all right? Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice, exercise these, and the God of peace will what? He'll be with you. How many times have you ever said, I wish I had more of the peace of God in my life? Well, here you go. Oh, wait, I want other people to just preach it or teach it or whatever, and then I get the benefits. Just as much as that doesn't work at Planet Fitness, doesn't work here either. You must exercise that. I must exercise that. So if you want to gain the righteousness of God, and if you want the peace of God in your life in on a new level, a depth, then you must focus, steward your mind well and focus on what's good, what's lovely, what's right, because it's easy to see what's wrong. I can go to the store, and before I've ever parked my car in the parking lot, I can have three people irritate me because they either stole my spot, or they cut me off, or somebody almost hit me with a cart. You know what I'm talking about? And you can tend to want to let your mind go, what's wrong with people? And you kind of get grouchy in that. Hey, here's your exercise. Here's your challenge this week. When something's about ready to frustrate you or irritate you, I want you to remember this, Philippians. And I want you to try to figure out a way to exercise some good thoughts. I want you to try to find a way to find the positive. Well, I know I'm going to have to deal with so-and-so at work. Oh, okay, well then you got a heads up already, right? So you get to pray about this, right? But I'll guarantee you this, if you will put it into practice, the peace of God will be there for your life. It'll show up in an amazing, amazing way. Often we dwell on the things in life that are terrible. We dwell on the ignorant. We dwell on the bad. We dwell on the foolish. But God is saying, no, dwell on that which is true. Dwell on that which is right. Let your mind dwell on those things. It's an exercise. So, if I were a coach, I would say I just gave you guys an exercise routine to do this week. The question is, will you do it? Because as much as I the Holy Spirit can show up and tell you, you still get to choose. And if you want to experience that peace, you must choose it. And then number three, write this down. Above all, remember the lessons of the cross. If you want to learn to have that precious commodity of remembering well, remember the lessons of the cross. What do you mean the lessons of the cross? I know about the cross, but put them in comparison with your problems. You take the cross tree of Calvary and put your problem, no matter how major it is, it looks like a pea compared to the cross. Anytime you take whatever worry, stressor, fear, anxiety, depression, you name it, and you put it in comparison to the cross tree of Calvary, it's going to overshadow that. Now you might say, okay, that's great pictorially or visually, I can see that, but how is that going to play out in my life? You see, Jesus was a righteous man, right? Did you know that? Okay. Jesus was a righteous man. And as a righteous man, he came without any sin. He came to love people. He came to care for them. Yet Jesus was slandered. They shouted profanities at him. They beat him up. They lied about him. One of his disciples, one of his friends, betrayed him. And he didn't just betray him. He betrayed him in a way that led to Jesus being murdered. I mean, this is big stuff. He was taken not by criminals, but by religious people. A bunch of religious people. He was again profaned then, and he was beaten. He was desecrated. He was taken before all of these people who just shouted profanities at him. And even Pontius Pilate got involved. And when Pontius Pilate was looking at him, he said, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. Why do you guys want to crucify him? It was amazing. Those who didn't believe in Jesus looked at him and said, I don't see what the big deal is. But those who were the religious people looked at him and said, crucify him. And they just kept shouting. He went through all of this, not because he just wanted to be a good man who died on a piece of wood for you and me. He was a man, the Son of God, sent by God to die on the cross so that we can have a way to eternity, but so that we could also have a helper in our life, so we could experience a little bit of heaven on earth. Here's what it says in John chapter 19. It said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They gave him slaps on his face, and Pilate came out and said to them, he said, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So when the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." Pilate was, he was saying this, "This is a massive injustice against humankind. I don't see any fault here. What do you," he's ultimately looking at the people saying this, "What are you guys doing? Why do you want to do this? This is terrible. What you're doing is wrong." As he looked at that, and they beat him some more. They whipped his back. They made him carry his own cross. They caused him to go through the most excruciating death a human could ever suffer. And even in the middle of that, he gave up everything and said, "Father, I commit my soul unto you." And he said not to hold it against the people. Do you remember that? How could he do that? Why would he do that? Because he loves you so much. He loves you that much. And not only did he go through all of that, but when it was finished, he sent a helper. He sent a helper for you and for me, so that you and I could navigate through the situations in life. You know, there's so much that God wants to reveal to us. That's why when we come to times of communion, and we will be coming back to the actual table, but it says in 1 Corinthians 11, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me." Yeah. Remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, and he saying this, "This cup is the new covenant. It's my blood. Do this. And as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." See, God's not as concerned. He wants us to remember the price that he paid, absolutely. But it's not the price that he paid so that when you die, you can go to heaven. It's so that when you feel like you're dying every day, every hour, every minute, the same God that was resurrected and paved the way to eternity is here today to resurrect you right now where you sit. He's here to resurrect you in your home, in your work, in your thoughts. But the Holy Spirit's here to help you. If that's you, he's going to let you know it. He may have spoken to you already as I've been preaching. That's the Holy Spirit. Now you get the choice to say yes to him or no. You say no to him, he's not going to hate you. But he's got so many gifts and promises that he wants to pour out into your life. Why would you not want to say yes to Jesus? "Well, if I say yes to Jesus, he's going to turn me into something I don't want to be." Really? You think that? Because I really don't. I don't think Jesus is going to turn me into some fanatically weird person that I don't like. I think actually the greatest part of me, and it's true for you too, the greatest part of you comes when you're walking in relationship with Jesus. Because then you experience the fullness of his gifts, the fullness of his promises, and the fullness of his Spirit. But the choice will always be ours. Will you pray with me? As I just simply ask today, Father, in this brief time, I pray that you would have revealed to us how valuable your Holy Spirit is to us. And Lord, we just say, forgive us. Forgive us for taking that for granted. Forgive us for blowing over that and just being more concerned with our daily habits and routines than actually making you a part of our life. So Jesus, we correct that today. I simply want to ask this with every head bowed, eye closed. Are you here today and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you? And before you leave this place, you need to just acknowledge that and say, "That's he's doing a work in my heart. He's doing a work in my life. I see it for what it is now, and I need to respond." If that's you, if you're here and you need to make things right with him, whatever that means, simply just going to ask you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I want to pray for you in a special way. Wait for just a moment. Anybody here? Okay. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. And today he will pour out his spirit in a fresh new way, a way that you haven't seen before, you haven't experienced before, because he's always into bringing that fresh new anointing. He brings that into your life today. You receive that in Jesus' name. Any other hearts here today? For just a moment. Okay. Then Father, I pray today that you will, as we leave this place, cause us to walk in your anointing. May we be a blessing wherever we go. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church.